Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. And we know Caesar Augustus was one of the Roman Caesars. And he reigned from 27 BC to 14 AD. That all the world should be registered for a census. And the census was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, from what I Googled, Quirinius was governor of Syria from 51 BC to AD 21, and all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was great with child. I saw a documentary the other day that just totally blasted all of this out of the water. Caesar Augustus never required a census, and it would have been ridiculous for all of these Jews to have to go to their native cities to be registered, and why would he take his wife, who was 9 months pregnant, with him? And they just totally blasted, none of this can be true. But you know what? This is God's word. And Luke was inspired of the Holy Spirit. So I know that every word of this is true. Maybe they just haven't found records of it yet in archaeology, because a lot of archaeology does confirm details in the Bible, a lot of it. So perhaps they just haven't found any records yet that shows that Caesar Augustus did indeed have a decree that all the world should be registered for a census. And if you're told by the emperor to go to your hometown to be registered, you don't say no. Even if you're 9 months pregnant, you go. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, I've mentioned this before. Most of the Christmas scenes that you see are just completely inaccurate. You know, they'll show Jesus lying in a manger in some kind of barn surrounded by farm animals. And then you've got the three wise men there and the shepherds there. And this one scene I saw this year, it even had Santa Claus there. It's completely inaccurate. First of all, the wise men weren't there. We don't know if there were three. There could have been two. There could have been 20. It doesn't say how many wise men there were. The wise men didn't see Jesus for probably another year and a half, 2 years after this. The shepherds were there. We don't know how many of them there were, but the shepherds were there. And I don't think he was born in a barn. You know, I think that he was probably born in a house. It just wasn't maybe the main house, because the main house was full, so maybe they had to go to a smaller house or what have you. But nowhere does it say that Jesus was born in a barn surrounded by farm animals. And in the same country there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Yes, I would be too. I can't imagine what the glory of the Lord shown around them would look like, but I would think it would be magnificent. And the angel said to them, "Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." We are bringing you fantastic news. "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So this would be, of course, Bethlehem. And why are the angels going to these shepherds and telling them this? They need witnesses. You know, the more witnesses there are of Jesus Christ, the better. The news will spread. God's word will spread. Christianity will spread. And suddenly with the angel, there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So not only did the glory of the Lord shine around these shepherds, which I don't know what that looked like, but it must have been amazing. Now, all of a sudden, instead of this one angel there in front of them telling them things, which would also be amazing, all of a sudden the entire sky was filled with perhaps thousands of angels praising God. I just can't even imagine what that must have looked like. And it came to pass as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in a hurry and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they widely made known the saying that was told them concerning this child. They did exactly what they were supposed to do: spread the news, spread the good tidings. And all those who heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. And I'm sure they were telling people for the years to come. The rest of their lives, they were probably telling people, "You will not believe what happened to me. I was out in the field, we were tending our flock, and then all of a sudden this angel appeared to us. He made this announcement about the Savior was just born, and there was this light shown around us, and then there were thousands of angels in the sky praising God." And I mean, can you imagine? "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." A couple of things to be said about this. Back in verse 21, it says his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. God knows us before we are even conceived. Where do women today think they have the right to destroy lives, destroy little souls that God created? It just makes me sick at my stomach. And as far as when the days for purification, according to the law, there were just a lot of things. You know, if a woman has a male child, she's unclean for 7 days. She has to do this and do that. And she has to have this offering and that offering. I'm so glad we don't live under the law of Moses today. There's so many laws. Anyway, that's from Exodus 13. And then I find it interesting, too. It says that she brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons as an offering to the Lord. Now, if you look at Leviticus 12, you'll see that the reason she brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons is because they were poor. They couldn't afford the lamb. And, you know, Leviticus 12 explains, okay, you know, you're supposed to do this offering and this offering, but if you can't afford a lamb, then you may bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we can infer from that right there that Joseph and Mary were not rich people. They were poor. "And behold, in Jerusalem there was a man whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him." So again, you have the Holy Spirit being on someone. The Holy Spirit was on a lot of people, a lot of various people during this time, basically to help spread the news, to help spread the news. "And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple." So the Holy Spirit basically led him to the temple. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" So Simeon, a very, very grateful witness. So, you know, the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that you're not going to die until you see Jesus being born. And so he was very grateful. He was another witness. that could spread the word, spread the news, spread the good tidings. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of by him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against, yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So Simeon, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, tells Mary that this baby is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel. And that's true, because he's going to bring the church. He's going to establish his church. He's going to bring Christianity and the new law of Christ. And many in Israel will rise and many will fall. Simply because many will believe and obey and many will not believe and obey. And then he says, yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. I mean, think about it. Her son is going to end up being killed in a very brutal way. So yes, her own soul is going to be pierced through with sorrow and grief because her son is going to be killed. And then he's going to be spoken against, and that's going to expose a lot of hearts out there. So a lot of good hearts will be exposed. A lot of bad hearts will be exposed. Many will rise because they will believe and obey. Many will fall because they will not believe and will not obey. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Sorry, that's my dog. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. This was an old lady who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. Now, I don't know if there's people that lived in the temple or not. If she didn't live in the temple, she was spent much of her time there. And coming in that instant, she likewise gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here we have an example of a woman teaching everybody. You'll understand why I'm saying that later when we get into like Paul's letters and how the church is to be structured and everything. Because you have people out there that will say, you know, a woman has no business teaching any man whatsoever. They can teach children, they can teach women, but not men. Well, here's, you've got an example of a woman teaching everybody. But it has to be done appropriately. It has to be done according to God's word. We'll get into all that later. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Again, I think that this is John the Baptist and Jesus just grew up like regular kids. They just, you know, there was, they weren't, I don't think they were going to do any of their work until they were grown men. Now, this next little story is the only thing that we have of Jesus' childhood. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know of it. So they left to go home with everybody else, their relatives and their acquaintances, everybody that traveled together. And they thought Jesus was just among them, and he was not. He had stayed behind. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you dealt with us in this way? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. I never have quite understood why Jesus did this. Now, again, I think at this point he was probably just a regular kid, a 12-year-old kid. Even though Jesus was 100% deity, he was 100% man. I do think when he left heaven, he did voluntarily give up some of his power. So that for the most part, as a child, he was just a regular child. I don't think he really was able to do a lot of miraculous things until he was baptized and then the Holy Spirit came on him. That's just my opinion. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But I never understood why Jesus didn't tell his parents, okay, guys, I'm going to stay behind. I'll catch up with you. And he said to them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Okay, but you could have told us. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. That's like at least the third time we've been told that. That Mary kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Again, just probably living a pretty normal childhood. Him and John the Baptist both until they were full grown. I'm going to guess around 30. And that is Luke chapter 2.